Can good Christian people disagree so strongly that they can no longer work together? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Paul Dibdahl from the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. I'm the host and study guide author of this 13-week series centered on the book of Acts. Today, our lesson is entitled The Second Missionary Journey. My conversation partners are two New Testament scholars and colleagues of mine in the School of Theology, Brent Berglund and Carl Cosart. Thank you for joining me, both of you.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
So what about this? This question, leading question. And our scripture focus, by the way, is Acts chapter 15, the last part of Acts 15, all the way up through the first part of chapter 18 in the book. And maybe just setting the context a little bit, Paul and Barnabas went on the first missionary journey together successfully, seemed to have gotten along pretty well throughout that journey. But partway through, John Mark, who was traveling with them as a helper, different translations will translate that word differently, John Mark deserts them and comes back to Jerusalem. Now on this second missionary journey, Barnabas wants to bring John Mark along. Paul says, no, not after what he did last time. I don't know if he said it in those with that sort of expression. And this was enough of a disagreement, a sharp of enough disagreement, that the two of them couldn't travel together, apparently, as church leaders. Is that the way it should have been? Was this, is this immature, or should we just expect this, that regularly we would disagree with people so strongly that we couldn't work together any longer?
I think it is really a great tragedy, a spot in the history of the early church that I wish it was different. God blessed and still worked through it and ended up dividing the forces to spread the message
multiplying
further.
Yes. Yeah.
But in reality, the sharp disagreement, I just wonder— what did Paul say when he traveled through those same area when they went before? And Barnabas, too, like, hey, well, where's Barnabas in Lystra?
Where's Zeus or where's Hermes? They'd give.
And on the island of Cyprus, when they asked Barnabas, hey, where's Paul? So it just tells us again that the early church was not perfect, that there were disagreements, that there were differences. Things were not always done the most appropriate way. And yet these are two men who want to serve God. Now, I think I always like to go to the end of the story because, things do get patched up. The book of Colossians, Paul specifically says, when John Mark comes, right, I give you special instruction, welcome him, right?
So He's been of great service to me.
People know, right, that there must have been some tension there, right? And then later in 2 Timothy, Paul's final letter, he does say, Mark can serve me well, and so bring him. So things got patched up, but originally there were some things said that perhaps they wish they would have not said in the first place.
But I can't help but wondering when I read the story, this isn't a disagreement over a moral decision.
No.
This is simply an operating decision, and it's okay to have a disagreement. Paul says, I would rather not travel with a young man who I'm worried will abandon me. We have perhaps some evidence that Mark and Barnabas were related, maybe cousins, and now they can do their work together, and God does end up blessing the results. I'm wondering that maybe some of our decisions that we disagree about, it's all right if we disagree sometimes. Maybe there's a place for that, and we can still serve the same God and still do the same mission. Just maybe not with one another. Is that okay? Now, can good Christian people disagree? They do sometimes.
Yes.
The question is, can we or should we?
And this is not directly answering the question, but I appreciate the fact that though it was a sharp disagreement, as you said, dealing with sort of operating policy, if you please, there's no indications that that Barnabas or Paul tried to excommunicate the other one or silence them somehow and say, oh, no, you can't go out on your missionary journey because you— – no, they didn't threaten to rescind each other's credentials, for example, or something like this. So they couldn't get along on this point, but they both continued to faithfully do what the primary task that God had called them to. And as you already noted, it ends up not that none of them go out on the missionary journey, but instead of the team of just the two of them, there are now two teams of two, so that ultimately God works through something, which I think is not ideal, I would agree. But
And also, to be pointed out, that they don't go to the same location. Yeah. Right, so it's not like we're the true church.
The one follows the other, trying to correct what they've just been told. Exactly.
But it doesn't. Also, it doesn't say that they did not like each other. And I am wondering if this is exemplary for us as well, that it's possible to have a disagreement over something that is somewhat insignificant, and yet we can still love each other, we can serve together, and be very much okay with one another, despite that we disagree over. And maybe even something theological.
In the end, Mark went back to where he had been before, and Paul went to where Mark had not been before, right? So so their ministries continued on just in different spheres. And Paul chooses Silas, who's also a Jew, who's a Roman citizen. He has a name, Silvanus, is his Roman name. And so the work of God goes on.
I'm not to belabor the point. I'll make this one other observation. I think it's there's sort of some irony here. Maybe irony is the wrong word, but Paul, who had that violent past persecuting the followers of the way, one of the first people, the first person who forgives him for that past and welcomes him is Barnabas, and now later on, Barnabas wants to forgive John Mark and work with him in spite of his failure. And Paul, who Barnabas has shown such grace to, is the one who says, "Nope, you know, he messed up. We're not gonna travel with him again." There's maybe a bit of irony, if that's the right word to use there.
Praise God for the Barnabases in the church.
No kidding.
And his name, Barnabas,
son of encouragement.
Son of encouragement. Right? Yeah. Yep. So in Acts chapter 16. Verses 1 through 5, we read that Paul had Timothy circumcised. Now, we haven't talked about Timothy yet. According to the Jerusalem Council, circumcision wasn't necessary, right?
According to Paul and Galatians, circumcision isn't necessary.
So why then? This is not a small thing. Timothy is not an infant. He's a young man. This would not be a small thing to him. Why is it that Paul requires this of young Timothy?
Well, I think in this case, I would assume that it's not Paul telling Timothy this was going to happen. I mean, Timothy has to be somewhat willing in this process. He's not 8 days old, right? So in this sense, I think they recognize for the sake of the Jewish mission, because it does say this is the context that they're working in, that it is better for Timothy to be seen in this way, to not be a stumbling block. And once again, for Paul, circumcision is not the issue. If someone insists, and Paul gives pushback. Well, no, but if it's for the sake of the mission and we can do this to accommodate the situation, Paul is quite willing. I don't think this is, you know, a different Paul in Acts than the Paul in Galatians.
This is the Paul who says, "I become a Jew for the Jews, I become a Gentile for the Gentiles so that I might reach some."
Yeah. All things to all people.
Do whatever you can to remove obstacles, even though they might not be significant, but if there are obstacles for the other person, We do what we can to try to remove those.
Paul would certainly object to circumcision as a means of salvation. Paul does not object to circumcision as a means of identifying with a people group.
Yep, exactly.
So, boy, what to talk about here. Paul and Silas are kept from entering Bithynia to share the gospel. They planned on doing that. But according to Acts chapter 15, verse 7, the Spirit of Jesus doesn't allow them to do that, like closes the way for them. It's interesting for me to consider this. Are there some areas where we should not share the gospel? Are there some places that maybe haven't heard where we shouldn't go?
Maybe if we're listening to God's timing, we'll be sensitive to those things. I think about an Old Testament passage that's maybe only tangentially related, but that is when God tells the Israelites, you know, I'm going to lead you into the promised land, but not yet. I'm not going to have you basically take them out of the land because their time isn't yet fulfilled. God is doing things with other people as well, and timing matters. Mm-hmm. God's timing matters.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, it's not the question of that some places, you know, you would never go to, but there are some places that are more ready mm-hmm. and some places are not. And mm-hmm. I think this is an episode of that happening here. Now, what intrigues me is how does the Holy Spirit do that, that's right?
Asked this question a previous week. Like, you know, how does the Spirit stop them?
Was a bridge washed out? You know, was a road closed sign? You know,
did they have a vision?
Hostilities? Yeah, did an angel appear?
Angel, right.
You know, those. Yeah. That's what I'd like to know.
How does the Spirit of Jesus keep you from going somewhere? Yeah. Now, well, sort of, I'm going to just throw it wide open here. We have the story of Lydia. Conversion of Lydia. We have the young slave girl who is following Paul and Silas and mm-hmm. saying, really being kind of a nuisance, even though what she says is true. We have the Philippian jailer. Wow. We have Paul in Athens speaking to the Stoic and Epicurean philosophers.
Don't forget Paul in Thessalonica, okay. chapter 17. Yeah.
So what do you want to talk about?
And 18.
And it's going to have to be short. It's going to have to be short. What do you want to say from this? Give us a pearl of wisdom.
What I like in this past this section is that the Macedonian call to come over to Macedonia, and this is where we see the transition from Paul and Timothy doing this to all of a sudden it becomes, and we went.
Paul and Luke.
So Luke yeah. apparently joins the journey in Alexandria, Troas. He goes all the way to Philippi, and he appears to stay there because the we passages stop. So he joins Lydia. Hmm. He joins the Philippian jailer and his family. Mm-hmm. And it looks like he remains there from anywhere from 4 to 6 years is the time that Luke stays in there until we see him with Paul again. So all these stories of people interacting to me that
brings it to life.
Brings it to
the
life.
The human element.
The human element.
I look at Acts 17 and when Paul is speaking on Mars Hill with these men who love talking about nothing except that which is new. And it sounds so much like our culture. Mm-hmm. We want to watch the newest TV show, buy the newest things. And in the end, Paul is given a place to talk, only briefly, but he talks about Jesus and he tries to use the language of Zeus. Are we not all his children?
Yeah, and, quoting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. quotes from a philosopher. And then they basically kick him out of the synagogue when he talks about the resurrection, or out of the temple when he talks about the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And yet he wins a few. We mm-hmm. find a handful of people in a city like Athens, and you know, it's interesting, the book Desire of Ages, or Acts of the Apostles, mentions that this was a great victory to win just a few. And sometimes we want to see huge numbers like Acts chapter 2, when we talked about Pentecost. Sometimes a great victory is 3 or 4 in an urban city. So
so much to say, and I was hoping to work something else in, but time is against us, so we close again this week. I close with gratitude to Carl and to Brant for their contributions. Also, thanks to Abby Wissink, our program engineer. And finally, thank you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.